Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, God's Favor, Your Destiny. And now with the word, here's Beverly.
I've been reading through the Gospels, and every time I get, you know, I fall in love with Jesus. Every time I just read through the Gospels, he's such a good man. He's so kind. He's so not irritated by people that sometimes we can be, you know. He just is like, wherever he is, he's got the right thing to do and he's got all the power to do it. He's amazing. I'm just amazed at his infinite wisdom and love. And, you know, I don't understand everything I read, quite honestly. Some of the parables, I'm thinking, Lord, what were you saying? And I'm saying, Lord, I'm just going to receive it by faith and you will interpret it to me. But I get to the end of the Gospels and I get so sad that he had to die. You know, I just get sad. I don't know if you like that. And I just feel like I don't even want to read those chapters because my favorite person in all the world is about to die. But as I read through his crucifixion and how mean everybody was to him and how everybody deserted him, I realize he had to die because he had to be raised again to live within every one of us. And that's the incredible truth of the gospel. He's come to live within us. It's not just him dying and being buried or that he even rose again, but he had to ascend to heaven so that the Holy Spirit could come. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. He is so wonderful. He's my most precious friend. He is my senior advisor. I love that definition. When you're needing counsel, you're needing help, you're needing wisdom, he is the senior advisor. And, you know, that's why it's so wonderful that he gave us even the gift of tongues. If you don't have the gift of tongues, you don't want to leave here without it. Do not leave this building without it today. Don't leave without that precious gift, because when you speak in tongues, you know what you're doing? You are releasing the Spirit of God through you to begin to work bountifully and amazingly in your life. You're releasing wisdom, words of knowledge, all sorts. You are building up your most holy faith, Jude says, when you pray in the Holy Spirit. So you're saying, but I don't have any faith. Jesus said you only need one little bit, like grain of mustard seed. So you do have faith, but you're building up that faith when you're praying in the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, there's some days that I pray more in tongues. I speak more in the Spirit in tongues than I ever do in English. Best because it rolls within me. It's just like it's a volcano. There are days that I'm just working out on my, you know, workout machine or something, and it's the Spirit of God is just rolling within me. I don't even know what I'm praying for, but I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and I know that I'm speaking mysteries and I'm speaking wonderful things into the spirit realm, and I'm just speaking, and sometimes I'm passionate. Sometimes I know I'm just laying hold of the throne of heaven. Other days it's just a gentle, sweet fragrance that's just rolling out of me. And then sometimes I know exactly what I'm praying for. I mean, God will give me a face and I know I'm praying exactly for that person, or an incident that'll just flash before my eyes and I'll know I'm just praying for that person, or something that happens to me during the day and God just gives me the wisdom, you know, and I'm thinking, where did that come from? Well, I've been praying in the Spirit. I've been just, it's been pouring out of me, and the Spirit of God is giving me the answer right there when I speak. So I want to stir up that gift in you this morning again. You know, it's not just like babbling like a baby. You know, it's a very powerful thing that God has given to us as Christians. And every one of us can have it. I don't believe you have to speak in tongues as a mark that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit comes into you and fills you, and you're filled with him. And with him, he comes all the gifts. But you certainly can speak in the Holy. Every one of us can. God was not saying, well, you know, when you do, did you ever do that daisy thing when you pull off the petal? Yeah, for you, not for you. Yes, for me, not for you. He never did that. All of his gifts are available to all of us. And so I just want to encourage you, some of you, and you know, you may not speak in tongues, but Jesus said, if you ask for the bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you ask for good food, he's not going to give you a snake or a scorpion. If you ask in another place in the parallel gospel, he says, if you ask for the Holy Spirit. And so when you ask, he's easily entreated, and he'll come and he'll fill you and he'll transform your life. I was a good Christian girl. I was saved when I was 12, but I looked at people who were baptized in the Holy Spirit and who spoke in other tongues, and I thought to myself, you know, there's something different about them. But I was taught, you know, in my church that, you know, that wasn't acceptable, and really tongues had passed away, and that it was more of the devil than it was of, you know, of God. And it's like, you don't want to mess with the devil because he's sure to show up, my mother always said. So, you know, I just stayed away from stuff like that, honestly. And I know I'm speaking to the converted here, but honestly, you know, maybe there's somebody on a tape that's listening to this. But I noticed people that had this experience that were just alive. And they had more vitality, and it's like their eyes sparkled, they quivered with excitement when God came into the room. And we pastored churches, you know, denominational churches, and we had a few of those people in our church, and I'd kind of look at them, but I would never let on that I was too hungry for it, because I'm the preacher's wife, you know. And so after we'd left church, our last church that we pastored in Zimbabwe, and we moved to South Africa, and we knew we were going to come to America. God had called us to America. The Lord led my husband to go and stay in a trailer home for a month. And he pulled his trailer home out to this little seaside resort outside of East London, which is in South Africa, where I was staying with my parents and our two children. And John went and stayed out there in this little trailer home, and he set his heart to seek God. He studied Galatians and Romans, and God revealed grace to him and just restored to him that whole glorious gift of the Holy Spirit. And one day somebody had prayed for him, and he'd been released in his tongue, and he'd just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a new and fresh way in his life. And he was out at the trailer home, and the Lord said to him, "What are you doing out there? Go pray for your wife." So he came into town, and he said, "Let's go for a drive." We put the kids in bed, and we went for a drive around the beach. And he said, "Let me tell you what's happened to me. And the Lord told me to pray for you." And so, you know, we were just sitting in the car at the beachfront, and he began to pray. And he said, "Now just start speaking." And I said, "Okay." And I suppose I'm a little blonde, but I just did it. You know, I mean, I didn't have to go through all the, you know, gymnastics of my mind to think, well, I'm making it up, and I'm, you know. I said, "I receive your Holy Spirit, and I receive everything you've got to give me." And out of my belly flowed a new language. It was glorious. The amazing thing about it was this. I was being asked to teach at a number of little ladies' groups all around the city. And so I had two little sermons that I'd speak at, you know. We preachers don't want like to admit this, but this is what we do. So we got our favorite sermons, and so we preach our favorite sermons, but it doesn't take a whole lot of effort, you know. So anyway, so the next time I was asked to speak at this little ladies group, all of a sudden, I'm telling you, I spoke the same sermon, but with a different power. I spoke the same words, but all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost moved in the meeting. Women were weeping and crying. I remember the same week that it was a Tuesday night that I was filled with the Holy Ghost. On the Friday night, I'd been asked to speak at a youth meeting in a denominational church. And so, you know, young people can be very intimidating to speak to. These teenagers sitting there looking at you saying, you know, "What are you old fogey got to tell me, you know?" And so I stood up to speak, and I just was so full of life. And I'll never forget that night. Six or seven of these young people came to Jesus to know him as Savior. And I'm thinking, hallelujah. I mean, I got hold of something that it was a power within me that changed me and changed everything around me. So I love the Holy Spirit. I love his ministry in my life, and I love to see what he's doing in your life. So if you don't know him as your best personal friend this morning, I want to invite you to come and receive the glorious, wonderful gift that God wants to give you. Come and just receive him. He's so freely available. Say, Lord, I can't get my three ducks in a row, because that's what we always try and do. Well, hold on. Let me confess my sins. Let me get my income tax in order. Let me get my relationship with my wife or my boss or something right. No, you come just as you are. God's going to sort all that stuff out. And you say, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't even know what I'm doing. But Lord, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come into my life and fill me to overflowing, that my life will never be the same. I receive you unconditionally into my life to come and change me and to come and be my best friend. And Lord, I receive all your gifts to come into me right now and manifest through me. I receive the gift of tongues. I receive the words of knowledge. I receive the gift of wisdom. I receive all of your gifts, every one of them, and I receive them into my life. You pray that simple prayer, and I want to tell you, God loves that prayer. He will minister and give you the Holy Spirit. And then you just say, Lord, I receive you, and then just wait, and out of your belly will flow a river of life. It's the Holy Spirit. And so you begin to speak, and out of your belly will flow a new language. It may sound like a baby language, you know, but speak it to the glory of God. And you know, as I've progressed along this life, it's like he sometimes gives me a different language for when I know that I'm warring against something. And then if there's sweet intimacy flowing out of him, the language is just so totally different again. When I'm about to stand up and preach or something, there's another kind of language. It's just like, he's so wonderful. He's so fresh. He's so good. He's so creative in everything that he does. He's never the same. Hallelujah. So I want to give you that wonderful invitation to come to the Holy Spirit. Because you see, when you come to him, he changes your life totally. And he'll change your business. And he'll change your relationships. He'll, when you yield to him every day. Now I want to say this. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's, I don't know Greek. My husband's one who can tell you about Greek, but it means that you keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. I was filled back there, but I want to tell you today I was filled with the Holy Ghost. He is within me. Today I've received his anointing. Today I've said, Lord, just come and control me in every area of my life. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit, he's so wonderful, and I just want to invite you to enjoy him and allow his life to fill you, and then allow his life to be expressed through you. He's wonderful. This morning, that wasn't what I was going to preach about, but I felt the Spirit of God say that, because you might all know him in a wonderful, intimate way, but these tapes are going out all over the world. And so people need to hear that. And they need to hear that you don't have to strive and strain and fast for 40 days and do all this stuff and confess all your sins up to date and do all this stuff to get him. He's a wonderful person that wants to come to you and love on you and infiltrate your life. Wonderful book there is, Benny Hinn's book is Welcome, Holy Spirit, or Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Okay, if you have your Bibles, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. It's the story of Jesus prophesying his own crucifixion, and then Mary coming to Jesus and anointing him with oil, breaking the alabaster box and anointing him with oil, because she knew it was in preparation for his death. So let's read from the first verse of Matthew 26. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, the people assembled at the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar amongst the people. Let's just stop there for a minute. Let me Caiaphas and the chief priests, the scribes, they were having a little tete-a-tete, what's that word? Conference, okay. In his house. And they were trying to decide what to do with this pesky guy who was just a pain for them. His name was Jesus. And they decided they were going to kill him. They were going to take him and kill him. But they had to be very smart about when they were going to kill him. And they had to take him when not during the Passover, because, you know, the Israelites were, the Passover was just in a very important time. And they would all have been in an uproar because many of them loved Jesus. He had healed many of them of diseases. He had healed many of them and delivered them from demons. And so they were very partial and they loved Jesus. But the scribes hated him. The Pharisees hated him. The chief priests hated him because they were taking glory, I think, away from them and drawing it onto him. And they were doing, and he was, you know, he was doing the stuff they should have been doing, but didn't do. And he, you know, he put them in their place, and so they hated him. So they determined that they were going to take him, but not during the Passover. You know what? This, when Jesus spoke this, it was just 2 days before the Passover. And Jesus said, I know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to crucified. When Jesus spoke those words, he prophesied his own death. It didn't matter what the scribes and the Pharisees decided they were going to do or what they weren't going to do and when they were going to do it, because they definitely decided they were not going to do it in 2 days' time. Isn't that what the word says? But Jesus said, you're going to do it in 2 days' time. And when Jesus spoke the word, it was as good as done. I mean, that's just an amazing thing to me. Because Jesus said, in 2 days' time, they're going to take me up and they're going to crucify me. And the scribes and the Pharisees, oh no, we aren't. We aren't going to do that. How many of you know when there's a prophetic word that goes out, that it's just got power in it. And God can move governments. He can change laws. He can do all sorts of things to accommodate his word that is spoken. And he can change the hearts of men. He can absolutely change circumstance. The hearts of men, he can do all sorts of things to bring apart his word, because the word of the Lord can never fail. And I just love this. I'd never noticed this. I've read the Bible so many times. I've read this passage probably dozens and hundreds of times. I've read it. But I'd never noticed this truth, whether when Jesus spoke the word, it was as good as done. I love that truth. So there is really a very important lesson here for us to learn, and that is the power of the prophetic. There is a power in the prophetic. And it's such an important gift, and at the same time that it's such an important spiritual gift, the enemy also wants to bring dissension, confusion, false prophecies, you know, all this stuff. So it's really important that when you have a prophetic word, that you discern in the spirit for yourself. You need to discern what the Lord is saying to you. You also need, as a prophet, you know, not to just go out there and say, well, you know, you're about to get married to this man over here. You need to quit that sort of stuff. You need to stay under submission to your pastor and to the elders in the church. And you don't need to run off half-cocked. You know, when God started to speak to me about the prophetic word, you know, he would give me these little bitty words. You see, my little baby Noah, he's just 13 months old. He's walking a little bit. He'll walk from here to there. And when he started walking, just take one step and everybody, yay, yay, good for Noah, you know. And then he'd take 3 or 4 steps and then 6 steps and it's yay, we're all holding our breath. Oh, he did it, didn't he? You know, but he started little bitty steps. So don't just think, well, I'm a prophet and I can get out there and I'm going to tell you that you're about to have a baby in your old age. I'll say, I ain't having any baby in my old age. You know, I mean, I don't receive that word. But, you know, so don't go out there and just, you know, give these incredible words that shake their lives. And you're thinking, well, where did that word come from? I can tell you where that word came from. If you want to know, I can tell you. So, you know, but I began to just speak little words. And every one of us can prophesy over each other. I mean, I can't tell you how many, like I told you yesterday about the woman who came to and said to me, God knows you. I mean, simple word. It just brought such a spotlight to me that I said, oh God, you know every area of my life. Every part of me, you know. Every one of us can prophesy over one another if we're speaking the word of God. If you just went up to somebody and said, I've got a word from the Lord for you. And he says, Hebrews chapter 11 or 13, verse 5 and 6, the Lord says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That is a prophetic word. And that's the kind of word we need to be giving to one another. Let's leave this. You're about to have a baby in your old age, or you're going to marry in 2 weeks' time, or you know, these time things. Let's leave it to those that are prophetic, like Brother Jay, who walk in the office of a prophet. We are prophets of our own lives, and we can speak over our own lives the word of God and what God's saying, and we should be speaking that over one another's lives as well, over our family's lives. But some of us are just, you know, we're running off into the parking place and we're prophesying over everybody in the bathrooms, and you know what? You need to quit that. We don't need to be doing prophecies in the bathrooms, you know. You need to hear me in this, because I've walked in this for a while and I know the devastation that a half-cocked prophet can do. It destroys people's lives, because not everybody's as mature as you. I hate to tell you that, but it's just the truth. I mean, I've had people come up to me and give me a word, and I'm very gracious about it, and I say, well, thank you very much. And I know it ain't from God. You know, so when I know it's not, I mean, there's no witness in my spirit. It just brought confusion to my heart. What do? I just say, Lord, as she walks away, I say, I just cancel those words in Jesus' name, and I put them under the blood. That's what you need to do. If she persists and she keeps going, I'll say, my sister, you know what? Sometimes you don't need to give people words like that. You just need to go pray over it. Not every word that God gives you is a word to be shared with the whole wide world. Sometimes God gives you a word so that you can pray and intercede for that person. And, you know, that's just good stuff. You know, so not all of us are these prophets that can stand up here and say, thus saith the Lord, you know. I want to tell you something about prophecy. It makes me bilious, sick, when I hear people and they, you know, it's like doom and gloom and judgment. And if you don't shape up, God says, I will, I don't know, smite you, burn you up, crispy critter, you're going to thus and that. God doesn't do that. Because the word tells me that the prophets and the prophecies are there to comfort us, to console us, to exhort us in the Christian faith. And so the words build, prophetic words should always build us up. And even if there is a word of correction, it comes with such a velvet glove you don't even know it was there. Because God is love. Basic. God is love. And he has placed his love upon me. He's not going to whip me around the ears. And you horrible, naughty child, and you go do this. No, he loves me. Yes, he'll correct me. And sometimes the prophetic word does correct, and that's good. But it comes with such love that you don't even know you corrected. It never, ever leaves you feeling condemned. If you feel condemned after prophetic word, throw it out. Because there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So, does that help you? Okay, so, you know, Jesus speaks the word and it starts everything in motion. I don't quite know which comes first, the chicken or the eggs, but, you know, it's important sometimes when you're feeling a word that's burning in your spirit, you just see a person's face and you need to go and give them this word. God loves you. God knows what you're going through and he's always with you. Take your prophetic word and pepper it with grace and with the word of God. It can't do any damage if it's the word of God. And just love on people. But it's important that you speak the word. Sometimes it's scary, but go up there and just do it. Just speak the word. And so Jesus spoke the word and it set the whole thing in motion. Sometimes when you just go up to somebody and speak a word, it'll set the whole thing in motion. Why? Because in your mouth is power. There's power for life. There's power for death. When you speak into the realms of the spirit, where you speak out loud, just like I'm speaking out loud now, it sets things in motion in the spirit realm. It's so important that we speak the word of God over ourselves, over one another. So important. I was, I'll just give you this illustration. We were in Carlsbad, New Mexico, and John was preaching, and I was giving away some tapes at the beginning of the service. And I noticed a man sitting right on the back row, and he was kind of just slunk down, and he had a little checked shirt on. He didn't look like a wealthy man. He didn't look like, you know, he didn't have a three-piece suit on and slick hair. He didn't look like a used car salesman, you know. He was just sitting back there trying to mind his own business. And the Spirit of God pointed him out to me. And so I said, "My brother, I'd have a word from God for you." And I began to speak that I don't remember everything I said, but I know that I said that God's hand is upon him and he was going to come into oodles and oodles of money. I used the word oodles, which is not a word I would normally use. And God was going to bless him to such an extent that he would have to have people come alongside him to help him manage all the money that was coming into his life. And I, you know, went on. Well, didn't know it, but he was a lawyer. And he was a friend of the elder of that church. And so after the service, he came up to his friend, Pat, and said, "Did you tell her about me?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, then what was she doing? How did she know all that stuff?" And said, "God showed her that stuff." And so a number of months later, we went back to Carlsbad. It was a couple of years later. We went back to Carlsbad, and we had a meal with the same man, the same lawyer. And he told us the story. He said, "When you prophesied over me," he said, "I didn't know what you were doing." He said, "But I was right in the middle of a big, big lawsuit. You remember the story when a number of families were picnicking right outside Carlsbad and a gas line exploded and 18 people were killed. And so he represented all of these families in their lawsuit against the pipeline. And he said, you know, we were just right in the throes of everything right there. He said, "I want to tell you that the case was settled out of court for an astronomical number." He said, "My part of the settlement was 8 figures. I'm thinking, okay, 7 figures is 1 million. 8 figures means that it's more than 1 million. It's got to be at least 10 million. And he said, "This was just amazing." He said, "I just want to tell you, although I didn't know what you were doing, this is what happened." Now, I don't know what came first, but I do know that it was important for me to speak the word, because when I spoke the word, everything set in motion. So you don't have to go up to people and say, you know, things like that, because like I just said, there's a difference between the office of a prophet and every one of us who have the gift of prophecy to prophesy over our own lives. But it's important that we speak the word, because our words have power in them. They have power. I mean, God gave me a word. I was out walking the other day and he spoke to me, and I was just, I'll just tell you this. I mean, we're just friends, okay? So don't tell anybody else, all right? So I was out walking, and I, you know, woman, and I'm 52, and I'm going through menopause, and so all women go, you know, they put on weight around here. I know you men don't want to hear this, but you can close your ears. But women, I have their attention right now. So I'm saying, "Lord, what about my weight? You know, what about my weight?" And he gave me such a clear word. He said, "You will lose weight, you will keep it off, and it will be a sign and a wonder to your husband and your children." And I said, "Whoa, hallelujah, what an incredible word." So, you know, I take that word and I speak that word over myself. "Lord, you've said I'm going to lose weight. It's going to be a sign and a wonder to my husband." And I just speak that word. But from that point on, it's like God just changed some things in me. I just, you can ask Sister Lene, I haven't eaten one mouthful of dessert. I haven't cheated. Not that I'm even cheating. It's like God gave me the grace. When he gives you the word, he gives you the grace. So don't you take my word, you go get your own word. Okay? You go get your own word. If you're going through menopause and you've got a few pounds to shed, go get your own word. But it's not just getting the word, it's speaking the word over myself every day. Oh, I think I've lost some of you. You're thinking, "Oh, I wish this woman would get on with her story." But I'm trying to help you. I'm a person that'll teach you where the rubber meets the road. This is stuff you can take from this and live it in your everyday 24-hour day. Like if God's given you a word that you are going to be wealthy and you bore witness within you and wasn't a spirit of greed bearing witness, you just knew deep down in your guts this was God, you need to speak that word every day. Lord, I thank you for your wealth. Lord, you've said I'm going to be wealthy. You said I'm going to be successful in business. You need to speak it out, whether you do it in the shower or whether you do it while you sit on the potty or whether you do it while you're driving your car, but speak it out into the heavenlies every single day. If God's given you a word, speak that word out. So, Jesus did all that stuff. He prophesied his word, and he set everything in motion. There's such a powerful truth there. Okay, let's read on in chapter verse 6. And when Jesus was in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him, having an alabaster box of very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." And when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." As I study this passage of scripture, I realized that Mary, you know, we know it was Mary from the other Gospels. Matthew 26, Mark 14, and John 12 are the other references to this exact same incident. And so we know it was Mary. Probably Matthew wrote his Gospel while Mary was still alive. And so he didn't want to mention Mary's name because she would have probably lost her head if, you know, the people had found out it was her. So he didn't mention her name. And so, but we know it was Mary. And so Mary comes and she takes the most costly valuable thing that she ever had. She had a very small window of opportunity to do what God had told her to do. Very small. She had 2 days. In fact, it was 2 days before he was about to be crucified. It was just 2 days. She didn't have lots of time to reason, think, ponder, work out, do the sums. If I give this, how much will I have left? What if, what if, what if? She had a small window of opportunity to do what God told her to do. It's like it was now or never. They were gathered in Simon the leper's home. Simon was a leper who Jesus had healed. And so he loved Jesus. They were gathered in his home 2 days before the Passover. And they were just sitting around having this wonderful feast. And Mary knew it was now or never. And the Lord spoke to me so clearly through this. And he said, this is a now word for the body of Christ. Because there are many of us, God's told us to do things. And we've put it off. We've reasoned. We've rationalized. And if we keep on doing that, I'm telling you, the window will close. Or God will say, "I had to do it now, and I'll get somebody else to do it." And that's not to put condemnation on any one of you, but it's to say, you know what? When the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, just do it. God is able to clean up your messes. If you make a mistake, he'll clean it up. You know, so just do whatever he's telling you to do. Just go ahead and do it. And she knew, hey, this is my opportunity. So she goes and she just was instantly obedient. My pastor back in Georgia had this little saying. He said, "Obedience begets obedience. Disobedience begets disobedience." When you're obedient to what the Lord is telling you to do, it's so much easier just to do it again the next time when you feel prompted of the Spirit to do something, just to do it. But how many of you know, when you're disobedient, it's real easy to get disobedient the next time. How many of you know this, that when you're on a diet and you cheat once, it's so much easier to cheat the second time and the third time, and then you're not even on a diet anymore? While we were in South Africa, I've been on this low-carb thing, you know, trying to shed these pounds. But anyway, this is before God gave me this word. And so I was doing so good, you know. I'm telling you, I was doing, first 2 weeks we were there, I was so good. I wasn't eating any of the old candies that I love or any of the old stuff. And then we went to eat out at a friend's house, and she'd made this most incredible chocolate sauce. She melted a bar one in cream. And it was amazing. And you pour it over ice cream, and it just looked like the ice cream was a little melting. I'm making you all hungry right now. And it was so amazing. She said, well, just taste it. I said, well, no. Just have a little taste. John had a whole big bowl full, and I'm thinking, well, let me just taste it. So I dug my finger in his. And I just, oh, it tastes, okay, well, just give me one little teaspoon of ice cream. And so she gave me a teaspoon of ice cream. Literally, it was a little teaspoon of ice cream. Quite a big teaspoon, but it was a teaspoon. And I poured this chocolate sauce over. Well, I just about licked the plate. I said, well, give me another teaspoon. Before it was over, I'd had 3 teaspoons. Now it was no longer teaspoons. It was like, it was over. And from then on, it was all the nostalgic eating that I could find. I ate everything in sight. You see, it was just, she was sent, that chocolate sauce, I know it was a setup, it just threw me down the ditch. By the time I was on a slippery slope, and I got so close to the edge, and I slipped right in. Back to, you know what I'm talking about? It's when disobedience begets disobedience, but obedience begets. When you have done something that you know God's told you to do, the joy and the excitement of seeing whatever it was that you did, it's just like, oh God, is there something else I can do? I mean, who else can I do this for? Or you know, Lord, I'm just getting up today, and let me hear. Is there a phone call I need to make? Is there a note I need to write? Is there a gift, a pie I need to bake, not to take to Beverly, but to take to somebody else? Is there something that I can do that you've told me I can do, and it's such a joy to do it? Is there somebody who needs $10, and you go up to them and they say, boy, I was just praying for $10, and you were the answer to their prayers? How exciting is that? Because you didn't even miss the $10, because he gives you seed to sow. We were in Houston, in fact, with Brother Jay and Sister Lene in a prophetic conference, and we were sitting, and I wasn't preaching that morning, and the Lord said to me, take that ring that's in your purse and go give it to that lady sitting over there. And I thought, well, okay. Somebody had given me this ring, and when they put it in my hand, I knew it was seed. It wasn't bread. John talked about that last night. Bread you eat, you get to enjoy. Like, this is bread. I'll never sow this. This is my wedding ring, and it's definitely bread. And so I knew, but seed, when God put seed in my hand, I know, I'm just looking for the place. I'm looking for the good soil to sow it in. So I had it in my purse, and the Lord said, go give it to that lady. I didn't know her. I walked over to her, and I said, the Lord just said to give this to you, and it's from him, and he will be your husband. Well, she put it on her, I mean, it had like 20 diamonds in it. It was a big, chunky thing. It was gorgeous. But you know, it has no value unless it has kingdom value. None at all. If it doesn't have kingdom value, it's got no value. So I put it in her hand, and she said, she put it on her hand immediately, and she just began to weep. I didn't know her story. I didn't know anything about her. She came to me after the service, and she said, I want to tell you, 2 weeks ago, she said, I have just been through a very messy divorce. I'm an associate pastor in a large church in Houston. And she said, I've just been through a very messy divorce. And 2 weeks ago, God told me to take my wedding rings off because he was going to be my husband. Do you know how excited I was? I thought, oh God, I'm so happy you used me. You could have used anybody in this whole church, but you chose to use me. I was just blessed. But I got to sow into her life. But guess what? I'm also getting a harvest so that I can sow some more. So, obedience begets obedience. When you just simply do what he's telling you to do, it's wonderful. So I know some of you are sitting there, and I hear the Lord saying this, and you've thought, well, I've blown it. I know God told me to do something 6 years ago, and I never did it. Or maybe it was just even yesterday, and I missed it. That's why we have the blood of Jesus. When you miss it, he died for your misses. He died for your successes. He died for your misses. And today's a new day. New 24 hours of moving by the Holy Spirit. And just saying, Lord, speak to me today. Just start today. Don't let the enemy condemn you for yesterday. But start today and move by the Spirit today. So, all right, let me just run through this. There will always be somebody, when God tells you to do something, there will always be somebody who will try to dissuade you from your irrational behavior, always. Now I want to say this before you all just run off and give away your house and your car and everything else. We don't do that unless John and I will come into agreement over something. We've kind of set a little limit that if it's going to be more than X amount of dollars, we come into agreement over it. We pray over it together. We need, because I can't go and empty my bank account and he's trying to pay bills. I mean, God's not going to be in that. So don't be silly. Pray with your husband. Get a witness with your husband if it's going to be some big thing. But I mean, if it's a thing related to me, I mean, if God tells me to give this necklace away, John's not going to worry that I've given away his prized jewel, you know, whatever. He's going to be quite, it's going to be okay. But if God told me to empty our bank balance, I would need to check it with him and we would need to pray. If God told John to give away our lost car, well, you know, he would need to talk to me about that. Although I might be a raging lunatic. I might be saying, hold on. Now, he's told us to do that before. We have given away our last car. And we've driven a motorbike. It's quite interesting doing grocery shopping on the back of a motorbike. I'm telling you, we don't preach what we haven't lived. We have lived this stuff. We have. And we've given away, I don't even know, 9 cars, 10 cars while we've been in America. But God has told us to do it, and we've done it with joy. And it's amazing. God always gives back to you. Pressed down, shaking together and running over. But the point is, don't just run around and give away everything. Hear the Spirit and be wise. And it may be irrational. I mean, people have come up to me and given me a size 6 shoe. Well, I take a size 9.5 shoe. And I'm saying, okay, now they heard you, Lord, to give Beverly the size 6 shoe. Well, I could say, well, they just missed it. Or I could say, well, God, this is amazing. You just put seed in my hand. And who's the one that I've got to sow it to? So, you know, if they had thought, well, I better check her size first, better check all this stuff first, they would never have done it. But it was twice sown seed. Does this help you some? So good, I'm telling you. But it's like being full-time sewers. Maybe some earrings or maybe, I don't know, $5 you got in your... Whatever, just keep open. Who's that little guy, the Martian? You know, do you remember my favorite Martian? You remember that old TV show, my favorite... Some of you are saying, oh, what is she going to say now? Well, every day, put on your little favorite Martian hat. I've got my spiritual antennas up, Lord. Beep, 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 beep. What is it that you're wanting me to do today? I'm putting my big elephant ears on, and you have said you will cause your glorious voice to be heard. Lord, today my ears are open to hear what you're saying. So let me hear what you're saying. And I'm just listening, I'm listening, I'm listening. I'm always listening to the Spirit. There'll always be somebody to dissuade you from every irrational behavior. Pride will immobilize you. Fear will paralyze you. And if you think and rationalize too long, the window will shut. Sometimes you've just got to do it straight away. Instant obedience. You know, and somebody has asked me, well, how do I know that I'm hearing God? Well, you know, I think hearing God is almost like riding a bicycle. You can know the science of it. You can know how it does. You can watch other people doing it, and all that's important. But until you get onto the bicycle and begin riding it for yourself, you're never sure that you can do it. So it's like I can know that God speaks to me and my sheep hear his voice. I can know all the scriptures. I can know that God has said he will cause his glorious voice to be heard. But until I get out there and actually do the little prompting that's in my heart to do, I'll never know for sure. So I want to encourage you to do that. And so, you know, it's when God speaks to me, it's not a loud, big, booming voice from heaven. It's like a little butterfly that just floats across my mind sometimes. It's a thought. It's something that comes. I'm thinking, where did that come from? It's God. And it's just like the Lord said, well, don't take this turn, take that turn. Well, just go ahead and do it. When I was learning to hear him, that's how he would speak to me. I mean, it was the baby steps. I wasn't giving away diamond rings at that point. I was learning to, what do you want me to wear today, Lord? It was little baby steps, just like Noah. Or what should I put in my kids' lunch boxes? My little antennas were up. Or, Lord, which sack of potatoes should I buy? I mean, it was learning to hear the voice of the Spirit in the little bitty things. Because, you know, there comes a time when they're big things that are going to cost you lots of big money, millions of dollars. And you better know that you heard God. But if you learn in the little things, it slowly grows to the big things. So learn in the little bitty things, and God will take you along the road. So it's like getting on the bicycle and just going for it. Sometimes you fall off, sometimes you scrape your knee, you kick your toe, and you feel like you're a mess. But I tell you, God loves you, picks you up, and He says, it's okay, keep going, you're doing good, you're doing good. Mary was passionate about what she heard God say to her. She came and she went into this whole room of disciples, of men, and she did the most intimate act before men that there was to do. She, you know, we read, putting it together with the other Gospels, she came into the room, she gave the most priceless thing she had in her life. In fact, we're told that it was very valuable, worth at least 1 year's wage. So whatever your wage is for a year, 50,000, 30,000, some of you might be earning 100,000, one little box cost that much. That's a lot of money in anybody's language. And she took this box. She walked into a room full of men, all talking high stuff, you know, big men stuff. And this little woman walks in. She unloosens her hair. She takes the box. She smashes it open. And now everybody's quiet. What in the world is she doing? What is she doing that for? She broke that box. It's so valuable. What's she doing? What is this woman touching Jesus for? And you could just hear the brrrr going down there, criticizing. We could have sold this and given it to the poor. And what a waste. What an incredible waste. What is she doing this for? Wish she'd only just talk to us about it first. If only she just converted and told us what she was going to do, we would have put it straight. We would have told her how to do it. But she took that box and she broke it. And she poured it, she lavished it on him. She didn't just give him a little, you know, a little dab will do it. A little Brill Cream commercial, you know, a little dab will do it. She took the box and she poured it all over his head, all over his body, all over his feet. It just ran all the way down him. And then she took her hair and she wiped his feet with her hair. And she lavished her unconditional love upon Jesus. She didn't care what people thought. She was not a man pleaser. She didn't think to herself, well, I'm a woman in a man's society. This is a man's room. None of that. She just did what he told her to do. It was the most extravagant gift of love, besides Jesus going to the cross, that we read about. I mean, she poured out her love in every way to Jesus. She gave her security away. If she never got married, she could have sold that box and given it and lived off the proceeds. So she, in some very real way, was giving away her security. She gave it in such a way it could never be taken back from her, taken back and given back to her. It cost her. It was extravagant. She was oblivious to all criticism. And she was totally instant and complete in her obedience. I love it. You know what? Love will cost you. Love doesn't come cheap. It cost Jesus everything. It cost him his life. Love, when you love him, when you love his body, it'll cost you. It'll cost you time. It'll cost you money. It may cost you a reputation. It'll cost you perhaps your privacy. Maybe even some of your dignity. It'll cost you convenience. But it may cost you. Love does cost. But it's so worth it. It's so worth it. Love is not even rational. See, Mary didn't listen to what Jesus was saying with her head. She listened with her heart. The disciples listened to what Jesus was saying with their heads, and that's why they were so critical of her, you know. But it's like Jesus had told over and over and over again through the 3 years that he had been on this earth and preaching. He had told them, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. But in 3 days, I'm going to be raised again. He had told them over and over. And the disciples I don't know. It just kind of flew right over their heads. They didn't. That's impossible. That won't happen. There's no way you can, see their rational minds getting into. There's no way you can die and be raised again. Nobody's ever done that. You know, you can't do that. And so they didn't believe what he was saying, but Mary listened with her heart. I want to tell you, there's a difference between listening with your ear and listening with your heart. When you listen with your ear, it goes through all through that, you know, rational thinking stuff and all that you know. And, well, they don't deserve it. He's just going to go and spend it. He may even drink. And I'm going to not do that. And they've just squandered every time I've given to them. They've just squandered. Or why should I do this? I mean, they've got more than I've got. He's richer than I am. Why should I give him $10? Or she, you know, she might criticize me, or she might be offended, or they might not understand my gift of love. So I'm not going to do this stuff. And we rationally think it clean away. But when we do with our heart, we hear with our heart, and we just obey with our heart, it's amazing what God will do. You might not understand it. They might not understand it. But in 5 years' time, they will. But you just flow with your heart and let God just do acts of love through your heart. It'll change your life. Jesus said of her, "Leave her alone. What she's done is a good thing." It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. You think it's a bad thing. You think all of these other things. But I'm telling you, it's a good thing. The disciples thought it was wasteful. Jesus said, no, it's not wasteful. She's prepared me for my burial. She did it for my burial. She listened all the time. She knew he was about to die. She heard him say, in 2 days' time, I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to die. She listened and she obeyed with her heart. She did it for my burial. And the third thing Jesus said about Mary was this: wherever the gospel is preached, what she's done will be told as a memorial to her. Hallelujah. You know, we don't hear that Mary ever preached to millions. We don't hear that Mary ever raised the dead or even healed any sick person. We don't hear that Mary did any signs and wonders and miracles. We don't hear anything much else about Mary except that she sat at his feet. She followed him wherever he went and wherever she could. And she gave him her unconditional love and devotion. And so that is told of Mary wherever the gospel is preached. I want to tell you, God may not have called you to preach to thousands, prophesy to thousands, to go all around the world and do all the stuff. But you know, he has called every one of us to allow the love that he's placed within us to flow out of us. To a hurting next door neighbor, to a hurting child, to whatever the Spirit of God, just allowing. If you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, the Lord says you've done it to me. So let your love flow for him through him down here. While we were in South Africa, I was told the story. In fact, the folk we stayed with in South Africa, their son did this. While he was coming home, there's a lot of street children, orphaned street children on the streets in South Africa. And one night, 11 o'clock at night, he was coming home and he noticed a whole group of about 10 or 12 of these street children. And they were all gathered around. We have Kentucky Fried Chicken in South Africa. Is there a place that doesn't? But they also have McDonald's. And so he was driving home. It was late at night. And he just felt, there was just a prompting in his heart to say, stop and go and buy them a box of food. So he did a little, it was inconvenient. He had to go around a little further, do a U-turn, and he stopped in front of the Kentucky Fried Chicken. He counted the kids. He didn't let them know what he was doing. He said, I want 12 boxes of food. They were each going to get their own box. And then he came out and he said, all right, all of you sit here in the gutter. You know, they just sat them all down there in the gutter. And he gave every one of them. You know what he did? He was Jesus to those kids. He provided their food. He was Jesus. The love of Jesus flowed through him through a box of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Tell them God loves you. Enjoy Kentucky Fried Chicken. See, I tell you this. You don't have to do the big things. It starts in the little things. And if you'll be faithful in the little things, God will give you the big things. and you're saying, oh, but my, you know, Beverly, I'm just like, oh, I don't think I can do it. Give it a try. Give it a whirl. You'll be so excited. You'll say, but I'm not sure. Just try. I mean, Noah had to just step out there and try. Then he got nervous and he crawled some more. But he took a first step. And now he's taking lots of steps. He's still a little nervous. He's still crawling more than he's walking. But he's walking. Before long, he's going to be walking before more than he's crawling. And before long, he won't crawl again until he plays with his own children on the floor. So start taking the first step of just hearing him, doing what he tells you to do. Doesn't matter how silly it is. Doesn't matter what you think anybody might think. Mary didn't care what men said. She didn't care. She just did what she knew what was in her heart to do. Father, I thank you so much for your precious Holy Spirit. And how we, I'm so conscious of the fact, and I know John's going to preach about this tonight, that we are your hands. We are your eyes. We're your mouth. We're your arms. You live within us. And we represent you to a dying world out there. And Lord, you want us to take our religion, our love for you outside of these walls. And you want us to start living that out there in the world. And to express your love and express your kindness and to express the goodness of God out there to them. Thank you, Lord.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. If you would like more information on this or other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com or you may call us toll free at 1-800-225-0245. God bless you and thank you for listening. Mm-hmm.